This podcast is brought to you by BetRivers. Download the BetRivers app from the App Store or Google Play Store. Must be 21. Available in Ohio only. Void where prohibited. Terms and conditions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Sports gaming is provided in partnership with Dayton Real Estate Ventures, LLC, DBA, Hollywood Gaming at Dayton Raceway.
If you're a tennis fan, you'll love Betting Weekly Game Bet Match on the BetRivers Network. Whether you're a bettor or just love tennis, you'll enjoy the in-depth analysis each week of the tennis calendar. Subscribe to Game Bet Match today from your favorite podcast provider. It's the Mike Francesa Podcast on the BetRivers Network.
Hello again, everybody, and welcome to the Mike Francesa Podcast. Now that we can put the field on the road to the Final Four and set up the Sweet 16, and it is a very, very heavy favorite Sweet 16. All the one seeds are there. One had to hold its breath. We'll get to that in a second. All the two seeds are there. And everybody is a big-time team. There's no Cinderellas. There's nobody. There's no mid-majors. I mean, the teams that you're talking about that were the seeds, like an 11 seed, NC State, they won the ACC. San Diego State, which ripped Yale, is the defending runner-up last year. I mean, that was the championship game. We're going to get a rematch of the championship game in the Sweet 16 with UConn and San Diego State. So there's no surprises there. They're all big-time schools. So it's a heavyweight battle all the way through. And this, my commentary was going to be that this had been the most boring, most one-sided first 4 days I can ever remember. Only a couple of upsets, only a couple of stories to tell. Very few games that went to the wire. No buzzer beaters. I mean, stuff like that that you always get that dots this tournament in the first 4 days, which is what this tournament's about. And then the heavyweights take over. Well, the heavyweights took over early. And then, just as I was about to come down and say that, Houston had a 10-point lead with a minute to play, and we went through one of the craziest 1 minutes I can ever remember, with A&M hitting shots that were just threes that were just unbelievable, with players fouling out all over the place, with foul shots being missed everywhere, and then inbounding the ball with 1 second left, down three, and having that ball get through and picked up and shot, and now we're going to overtime, and Houston is stunned. They had a 10-point lead and was shooting another free throw with a minute and 20 left, and now they were going to overtime against A&M. Think about the momentum A&M had, but Houston hit the first three with four and change in overtime, and that was the biggest basket, because without that shot, without Sharp's three, with 4:26 on the clock that gave them a three-point lead, I think they would have lost, because they were hurting. They were short players. They had guys on the floor who weren't going to do the job. And if they had a chase at all in the overtime, they would have lost. And that first shot was that big. Coming off the way that game went overtime, the fact that that shot went down was huge. And Houston survives, absolutely survives a game that you thought that was over with a minute to play. They're on the line, up 10, shooting one more free throw to go up 11 with 1:20 left. And that game goes to overtime on a shot that's inbounded with 1 second left, gets through and is knocked down at the top of the key. Just an amazing, amazing last minute of basketball in what was a very physical, ugly but physical game. And now Houston, which is banged up, survives, gets to the Sweet 16, where it will play Duke. A very, very impressive winner today. And Houston, you talk about surviving and advancing. That was surviving. As a one seed, they survived. A lot of people didn't think they'd win this week. They aren't 100%. They had that Iowa State game. I thought they'd get to the Final Four. I still think they have a great chance to get to the Final Four with the defense they play. But obviously, a lot of people are going to be on the Duke bandwagon after their performance against James Madison today. Duke today took the barbs from James Madison. James Madison had a lot to say. They were out to prove something. They wanted to take it to Duke, and instead Duke said, bring it and watch what happens. And Duke put on a show. First half, second half, and just embarrassed James Madison. Purdue made a statement today. We're not going out early this year. Made a big statement today, and now they get ready. And the fact that we didn't get the upsets, the fact that the only team that probably anybody thought could win it all that's gone is Kentucky. 2-3 seeds gone, Kentucky and Baylor. 2-4 seeds gone, Kansas and Auburn. 12 of the 16 there. All the ones, all the twos there. What that means is you get big matchups in the Sweet 16, in the Elite Eight. Illinois-Iowa State's going to be a great regional semi. Purdue-Gonzaga should be a terrific regional semi. Gonzaga's playing really well. Tennessee-Creighton should be a terrific regional semi. NC-Alabama, Houston-Duke. Plenty. And then UConn, San Diego State. I don't expect San Diego State, but San Diego State's played well in this tournament. I don't expect them to beat UConn, but you know what? They played them last year. They played them a rugged game, and that San Diego State team's going to give you everything they have in the Sweet 16. I don't think it'll be enough. I think UConn will win. I think UConn will win their way to the Final Four. But you have to respect San Diego State, because they were there last year. They're there this year. They're rugged. They're very well coached. And they are back for more this year. There are no small teams in this. UConn, San Diego State, Illinois, Iowa State, NC, Alabama, Clemson, Arizona, Houston, Duke, NC State, Marquette, Purdue, Gonzaga, Creighton, Tennessee. Name teams. Name matchups. Heavyweight matchups. That's what this Sweet 16 and the Elite Eight are going to be about, trying to fight their way to the Final Four. Was it an exciting 4 days action? No. Was it the usual craziness? No. Was there a whole bunch of coaches who made their name and got their job and, you know, put themselves on the map? No. Were there schools that put themselves on the map? Well, Oakland did for one game and almost did in the second game. The Oregon-Creighton game, if you stayed with it, was a terrific, gutty performance by Oregon, which really only had two players scoring in the whole second half and was really well coached by Dan Orman, who I thought should have done something different, but I went through that all last night. UConn rolled. Carolina rolled. Purdue rolled. Houston was rolling after winning by 40 in round one. But all of a sudden, on their way to rolling to the Sweet 16, they hit an abutment and almost got knocked sideways and out of the tournament. Instead, they win it in overtime and on their way to the Sweet 16 to take on Duke and see if they can win their way to a Final Four. Hey, you're going to have plenty of action in this Final Four. If I could pick one matchup, it's the one I picked. Now, hey, listen, my Final Fours, all four teams are here, but you know what? I think this year, a lot of people can say that. Unless you were loading up on Kentucky or Auburn, I think pretty much everybody can say that. I picked UConn, Alabama, Houston, and Purdue. They're all still here. I would like to see UConn play Purdue in the championship game. I would like to see a battle of big men. Now, I can tell you right now, my thought on that game will be that Klingon can play well against Edie, and he's got a much better supporting cast. Not taking anything away from Purdue, but UConn's supporting cast. And UConn didn't play well tonight. They led 40-18 at the half, so it sounds funny to say they didn't play well. But this was a night where they were sluggish. They were sluggish in the second half. And they had a miserable game from two. They got outscored 40-35 in the second half by UConn, by Northwestern, which did a nice job. And Connecticut was 3 for 22. And that counts making the last basket of the game in garbage time a three. That made it 3 out of 22 for the game. They shot 13% from three and win the game by 17 points. So they didn't have their A game, which gives Danny Hurley something to really get into his team about, which he'll love because he loves doing that to begin with. I understand they got a chance to coast both games because they had a huge lead at the half in game one and a 40-18 lead at the half in game two. But they didn't have a good second half, and they didn't shoot the ball well last night at all, which is something they can, you know. Newton went 0 for 6 from 3. Spencer went 1 for 4. Caravan went 1 for 4. Castle went 0 for 2. Diarra went 0 for 4. So guys who usually knock down threes didn't tonight. And you know you'll see that change when they come back out on the floor this coming week. Now the action gets underway Thursday night and Friday night, then right back with the regional finals on Saturday and Sunday. We will have all the action for you later in the week. We also will have a very, very busy week because we have plenty of baseball to get to as baseball is upon us. The season starts on Thursday. Yankees on the road, the Mets home. We'll get into all the over-unders for the season. Hope we do as well as we did in the NFL. In the NFL, we missed one. We missed Atlanta. We got everything else right. We'll probably do three unders, three overs. That'll include the Yankees and the Mets. The Met number right now is 80.5. The Yankee number has dropped to 90, 91. I've seen it. 91.5, I've seen it. So right about there with the injuries that they have. And the belief is that the Yankees went out and fortified this lineup, brought in Soto, brought in the other changes that they made, balanced the lineup left-handed, balanced the lineup with some new power, and the feeling that they will, now that they went out and got Soto, they will get the pitching they need, especially if the news turns bad on Cole. You know, I don't know if he's through seeing doctors or not. We'll see how that goes. Maybe he's going to double back on Eltrash. I don't know what's going to happen. We'll see. He's probably looking at June. And who knows? He could be looking at the season. You don't know. Yankees have question marks in that starting rotation. They have some question marks in that bullpen. They can use some more pitching. We know that. How that's going to unfold, we'll just have to wait and see. We know the lineup's going to be improved dramatically, balanced dramatically with significant left-handed power and lefty-righty balance. And with Soto and Judge, two of the best three or four hitters in baseball back-to-back in the lineup. I like to see Soto 2 and Judge 3. That's the way I would prefer it. We'll see how it unfolds. We'll see. We'll update you on, you know, these injuries, which are going to go right to opening day with Rizzo, with obviously two or three other key guys, okay, which we'll have to wait and see whether they're ready or not for opening day. Again, Yankees got hit pretty good with the injury bug late in the spring. We know that. And I think you'd have to, despite even the issues that the Indians have, that the Orioles have with their pitching and with the injuries they've suffered, you still have to make them the favorites. They deserve that. They've earned that. They have such outstanding young talent, and they now have the wherewithal to go out and add people if they have to. So that makes a big difference. It really does. So we'll update Rizzo. We'll update LeMahieu. Sounds like there's a good chance they'll both be back for opening day. We'll see. they have, like I said, some question marks in that rotation. You can't count on Cole before June at the earliest. I think there's some issues in that bullpen. But you're going to be excited about the lineup. You're going to be excited about, obviously, what Soto's going to bring. You're going to be excited about, I think Grisham's going to be a big positive. I think he's going to help a lot, not only with his defense, but I think with his left-handed power, which is a lot better than you think. Plus, I think Verdugo's going to have a really good year. I think he's going to have 50 extra base hits. I think he's going to prove to be a very dangerous hitter at Yankee Stadium. I really believe that. As for the Mets, I think they made the right move bringing in that right-handed bat. I was a proponent of that. I think he's a good clubhouse guy. I also think he gives them a legitimate, legitimate professional hitter in a big way who they can put in the middle of the lineup. And I think they needed one more bat. I think it's a positive. You know, their bullpen looks good. Their lineup is okay. It's better now. It's got, you know, on its best day, it can be pretty good. Their starting pitching, let's be honest, there's nothing there. You are asking an awful lot out of some guys who really have never been able to step up and do it. That doesn't mean you can't get it out of a couple of guys. That you can't get innings, at least out of these guys. The bullpen looks like it has depth. They obviously have the closer. Can they have a winning season? At best. At best. That would be an accomplishment, I would think, right now, considering the starting pitching. It really would. But we're getting to the Yanks. We're getting to the Mets. We're getting to everything else. The overruns, so we'll do all that. So it's going to be a busy week with baseball and with the Sweet 16, which will get back underway on Thursday night. And listen, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that this was, you know, spellbinding in the last 4 days. It was boring. There was, I cannot remember a tournament, and I go back forever with this tournament. I cannot remember a year where there were so many lopsided games, first round, second round, games that were over early. I mean, so many. I mean, think of just today. How many games were just over early? UConn, goodbye. Purdue, goodbye. Duke, goodbye. San Diego State, goodbye. I mean, one right after another. And, I mean, it's just same thing yesterday. I mean, it was just so many of them. Illinois, nothing. You know, game after game until this crazy game was almost like we needed one to finish it off on with this incredible A&M comeback, which would have made this, if A&M had come back and won that, it would have been one of the really historic comebacks in the, against the one seed in the history of the NCAA tournament. It was crazy what went on that last minute. Go back and watch the last minute. You won't believe it. The shots that were made, the difficulty of the shots that were made, the ball with 1 second left, being inbound. I mean, just crazy stuff that went on in that game. And Houston survived with, I believe, either 7 or 8 players having fouled out in overtime. By the time we got to overtime, I think there were 7 out, maybe 8, but I think 7 for sure were out. That's just bizarre. It really was. So we got a real busy week of stuff coming your way. We'll have plenty of action for you day after day. Look for the baseball previews. Look for the Yankee-Mets stuff. Look for all the NCAA tournament stuff. So enjoy your week.
Thanks for listening to the Mike Francesa podcast on the Bet Rivers Network.